thank you everyone ever so much for coming, and thank you again to Victoria Hall for making the space available. It's really appreciated. Essentially, this meeting is to update you. Obviously, we had the two meetings in January. So essentially, I wanted to update you because obviously we've now passed quite a significant milestone, which is that the first proposals have gone into government recommending how all our council areas should be reorganised. So what I'm hoping to share with you today is essentially what proposals have been submitted to government, what is the timeline and what happens next, and then of course I want to focus really on trying to hear your views. So what is the government proposing? I'm not going to run over old ground. A lot of you came to the previous meetings, except to say, obviously, these are the biggest reforms that we will have seen in 50 years, and it is fundamentally changing the bit of government that you experience most, whether it's your bins, whether it's your roads, whether it's your schools, you name it. So in December, the government announced these plans that we didn't know were coming because we thought they were just going to do mayoralties. On the 10th of January, a letter went to government from our council, which said that we agreed we needed reorganisation, we agreed we needed a mayor over us, and we wanted it to be fast-tracked as quickly as possible. There was then the meeting of Rutland County Council in February, where they discussed local government organisation in general, and there was a motion passed at that meeting in February which said that before the March 21st deadline, so that was last Friday, that the council had to hold public engagement events, and they then also had to give councillors a vote before any proposal went to government. And that was passed by the entire council without anyone dissenting from it. We then had the March meeting of Rutland County Council, which was held last Tuesday, at which point there had been no public engagement events and there was no vote held of Rutland County councillors. Then we had proposals published. So Leicestershire County Council published their proposal, then South Lincolnshire proposed theirs. Then we had Leicester City publish its proposal. Then we had the South Cestevin District Council meeting last week, where there were a significant number of votes and some pretty hot debate, should we say. Then there was the Lincolnshire County Council meeting, where again there were votes on what the proposal should be. Then the North Leicestershire proposal was published on Friday, and that was the deadline for the interim proposals to go to government. The next steps are the government has just written to me this afternoon about an hour ago and said that they will feedback to all councils by the 28th of April with initial feedback, because the Friday deadline that's just passed wasn't a yes, no, pass, fail. It was a give us your ideas and then let's work from there. So 28th of April will be when they get feedback. Then in May we have elections in both Lincolnshire and Leicestershire. Now obviously we could have completely different councils, completely different councillors, who may have very different views on the proposals that have already gone forward to government. We just can't predict what's going to happen. Then we have our council, Rutland County Council, has promised that from May they will launch community engagement to start hearing your views on the proposal. Then by November 28th, we have to have the detailed proposals. So essentially the government's view is that between now and the 28th of November, councils can do detailed consultation, I guess, but also, more importantly, really work up the detail of the proposals they put forward, of course, with the feedback from government that they're meant to get within the next month. That then takes us to next year, where the government is going to do statutory consultation. As we understand it at the moment, that is only on mayoralties. They will not be doing consultation on what local government reform looks like. So it won't be, does Rutland want to be with South Lincolnshire or North Leicestershire? It will be, do you want to be part of the Lincolnshire mayoralty? Or do you want to be part of a Leicester, Leicestershire and Rutland mayoralty, or an East Midlands mayoralty, or whatever model the government decides to consult on? The government will then make its decision in that May to August 2026 period. We will have devolution priority areas by 2027, and by April 2028, they want all of us completely reorganised. So that is the timeline as we currently understand it. So, what does this mean for Rutland? So technically, three options have gone forward to government with Rutland in the name, but there are four realistically that would impact on us. So North Leicestershire and Rutland. This is part of a package which proposes three unitaries across Leicestershire. The first being North Leicestershire with Rutland. So that's Charnwood, North West Leicestershire, Melton Borough Council and Rutland County Council coming together. The second would be South Leicestershire, which would be Blaby, Harborough, Hinckley and Bosworth, Obi and Wixton councils. And the third unitary would be a City of Leicester based on its existing boundaries, not expanding in any way. All of that would sit under a Leicester, Leicestershire and Rutland mayor. So this proposal, the North Leicestershire proposal, is a joint proposal. The seven district councils of Leicestershire and Rutland have come together and they've said it's their preferred model. On the Rutland County Council website, the exact wording is, We believe that this joint plan with Leicestershire's district and borough councils is the best option for Leicester, Leicestershire and Rutland shared area. So the proposal would be that North Leicestershire and Rutland would serve 418,000 people under one council. So obviously that compares to 41,000 who are currently served by just Rutland County Council. It does line with the health and blue light current authorities. So the government said that where possible, they had a real preference for us to make sure that authorities kept essentially integrated care boards, police and councils within the same area. They've said that they will deliver an annual saving of £43 million a year by doing this. However, Leicestershire County Council claims that the proposal will actually only save £17 million a year. It's not a surprise that we've got councils falling out with each other over this because they, of course, want their preferred model to be picked. The cost to deliver it, they reckon, will be £18.6 million. That's just to do the reorganisation. That doesn't include then the cost to create a brand new mayoralty on top of us all, which will be another layer of cost. They have promised council tax equalisation, which, as all of you know, has been one of my demands of council reorganisation. They reckon that we will get a 9.9% council tax reduction in Rutland if we join. So for a Band D, that's a typical £219 reduction in your council tax. They envision probably about 80 councillors. So for Rutland, that translates that we'd probably have about 8 councillors representing us instead of 27 currently. And the strategic growth corridors they've identified are the North and then Woolfox area in Rutland, which we'll talk about in a moment. And they promised that with the proposal they would deliver increased housing and that they will do a deal with Leicester City where the unmet need of Leicester City to build more houses is delivered by the rest of North Leicestershire and Rutland and then the other areas as well. But the main growth area will be Hinckley and Melton Mowbray when you look at that new boundary. So the proposal essentially sets out that the majority of growth in the North Leicestershire and Rutland Council and therefore investment, would be in the industrialised areas of the new authority, which obviously isn't us. So the proposal says the North is home to the East Midlands Airport, the East Midlands Freeport, the Loughborough and Leicester Science and Innovation Enterprise Zone, and it sits at the manufacturing heart of the M1 corridor connecting Nottingham and Derby, whilst its eastern segment reaches all the way to Rutland and the A1, and the major growth node, as they call it, at Woolfox. So as you can imagine, I would expect that investment will be heavily weighted towards that northwest when it comes to identifying priority areas. I thought this was very interesting. So as I say, they've promised to deliver additional housing as part of the agreement to reorganise. The proposal has some detail, and essentially the proposal states that 96,864 new homes will need to be built by this new authority of North Leicestershire and Rutland. For Rutland, they say that significant growth in development sites will be at the A1 at the Woolfox site. They specifically say that we will build 5,000 homes at Woolfox. So that is 10,000 to 15,000 people at the new Woolfox site. It then also says that we're also going to build in the St George's Barracks. And it says that that will be a major housing node, but we don't have any specific figures. It just says that the County Council has committed that we will build at these two sites. The proposal also states there is an existing culture of collaborative working on local plan delivery in Leicestershire and Rutland, including working proactively with Leicester City to accommodate their unmet housing need. We don't have a local plan as yet in Rutland because of various shenanigans over the last few years, but it is essentially saying that we will help take on Leicester's unmet housing need and that essentially that we've predetermined that these two sites will be carrying the heavy weight of it. So we're currently in the planning and consultation stage. There'll be a formal submission in November, elections for the new mayor as early as May 2027, a new council essentially in place by 2028, and that would be when we would essentially wrap all of this up. So that is the North Leicestershire and Rutland proposal. The next proposal is the South Kesteven, North Kesteven, South Holland and Rutland proposal. So this proposal has been put together by South Kesteven and North Kesteven district councils who came together and did all the work on it. And essentially what they're proposing is that Lincolnshire should be split into three unitary authorities. So the first would be South Kesteven, North Kesteven, South Holland, with Rutland joining it. The second would be Boston, the City of Lincoln, East Lindsey and West Lindsey. And the third, North East Lincolnshire Council and North Lincolnshire Council, all under a Lincolnshire and Rutland mayor again. So there'd be 405,000 people in this new council authority. So that compares to 418,000 in the North Leicestershire, so not really much of a difference between the two of them. But, of course, the inclusion of Rutland means that we would be crossing health and blue light service boundaries. Now, in their proposals, they've said that we believe this is justified given Rutland's economic orientation and parliamentary boundaries. In my view, and I suspect it may be true for many of you, I go to Peterborough for my care rather than Leicester because it's much closer to my home. I'm not going to travel for an hour when there's a perfectly good hospital 20 minutes away from me. Now, these proposals are far less worked up than the Leicestershire and Rutland ones, and that's partly because it took quite a lot of time for them to have the confidence to say we're going to bring forward an alternative, but also Rutland County Council didn't help shape this proposal, so they've got quite a lot of gaps where they need data provided to them so they can work it up. So, annual savings. They reckon they will save tens of millions, so again, quite similar to the other proposal. They have promised they will deliver council tax equalisation. Rutland's will go down to meet Lincolnshire's, not Lincolnshire's coming up to meet Rutland's. They envision that Rutland will end up with 8 councillors. That's actually, again, identical to what the North Leicestershire proposal is. It will be a rural authority. It will improve cross-border housing planning. It aligns with the local enterprise partnership because we're currently part of Lincolnshire's. And obviously it aligns with parliamentary constituencies, although I would argue that's less important given that I'm currently straddling 3 counties anyway. So that then takes us to the next proposal, which is the One Leicester and Leicestershire model, the Mayor of Leicester's proposal. yes, otherwise known as the donut. So essentially, the city has put this proposal in on their own, and essentially it says Unitary 1 should be the expanded city council, Unitary 2 should be the whole of Leicestershire and Rutland, and of course, once again, under a Leicestershire and Rutland mayor. So it does meet all the government's requirements, there's no question of it, because there would be 578,000 people served by one council, and the government has said they want 500,000, they want 500,000. They're willing to go down to 350 if you put together a really killer proposal, but they really want 500,000. They claim, well, the mayor claims, that it will save £34 million a year. He also says it will cost £22 million to deliver. However, he's also said there will be a massively expanded Leicester border. He says he does not commit to any council tax equalisation. They currently pay less council tax than the city and how that will benefit the city. There is no guide on how many councils there will be. The strategic growth corridor, I think, is not really a surprise to you all, will be the city. But they will, the city, therefore, gain from business rates, from Foss Park and places like that. They will get the increased housing and they'll be able to build their housing in the county areas. But there is no agreement of Leicestershire County Council or Rutland County Council to this proposal. It's just the mayor's on his own. So, I thought I'd show you this map, the countryside land grab. So, the constituency I serve, although many people don't realise, is yes, South East Devon and Stamford, all of Rutland, but I actually have a lot of the harbour villages, so I go all the way up the border with Leicester City. So this really matters to me. And as you can see from this, the mayor wants to massively expand his borders. So the plan includes trying to take over Thurnby, Bushby, Scraptoft and Stoughton in my constituency. So all the way up to Houghton-on-the-Hill, essentially, would become part of the city in terms of their main authority. The reasons, of course, is that he says it would give him increased business rates, council tax and room to build more homes. The mayor has said he wants to build 32,000 new homes, 18,000 new affordable homes, and although there is much capacity in the city, he claims there is not. The mayor has also said that Leicester could have been Leeds if it had been allowed to expand 30 years ago, and that it's been held back. As you can imagine, I have my views on whether we want Leeds on our doorstep. The mayor also states that initial engagement with stakeholders has been very positive. But as you can imagine, I'm wondering who these stakeholders are, because I most certainly wasn't one, and I'm getting quite tired of council leaders claiming they've engaged with communities when they haven't. So there is a petition that I launched with neighbouring MPs, and well over 5,000 people have already signed it, saying they don't want our rural areas coming part of the city. So the red is what the city currently is, and the purple is what he wants to become part of the city. So this really is a fundamental change. Yes, it doesn't affect Rutland directly, but it does affect those communities with whom we live and work. So that takes us to the next proposal. So as I've said, what you will immediately see from this is that Rutland is not included in Leicestershire County Council's proposals. However, this is the one that I said, our name may not be in it, well it is many times, formally, but actually it's where I would see the government forcing us to act if they chose this model. So the government has said it doesn't accept devolution islands, but Rutland would essentially become one if that model was proposed and Lincolnshire goes ahead as currently planned in terms of the bigger model. So you can see why government might force us to join it, but as I say, this is a solo proposal of Leicestershire County Council, which says the city council, but without bigger expanded borders, and then all of Leicestershire coming together, again under a mayoralty without Rutland. As I say, Rutland may not be formally mentioned, but government could say that their preferred route, because they've said they will legislate against local choice, is that we would be forced to join them. So that would then give us two choices. We would say, right, we're going to fight to keep our own council because we don't want to join a giant donut. We accept the alternative proposal, which would be that we would join one giant donut. Or we would say we back an alternative model that we think is better for us. Now, Leicestershire County Council state in their proposal that Rutland has not been included in this interim plan pending clarification of Rutland's position on both local government reorganisation and devolution following two recent special council meetings of Rutland. Delayed publication of Rutland's draft minutes of both meetings and the social media reaction point to very mixed views within Rutland Council and within Rutland about reorganisation. Specific requirements, the amendments I talked about will be required to vote, specific requirements were placed on the leader of Rutland Council resolution in respect of submitting plans to government. It is not apparent that those have been complied with in the leader's support for any interim plan. They then go on to say that in the case of Leicestershire County Council and Leicester City Council interim plan proposals being taken through scrutiny and formal decision making, although MHCLG, the government department, has said they would consider interim plans have not been through full decision making by local councils, they are disappointed that there has been little or no debate in some councils. So essentially they're saying that in Rutland, there is no backing by the council for the path that's currently being pursued by the leader, and therefore they're not going to discount us from being part of their proposal because they say they don't know how the councillors really feel or the public really feel. However, throughout their proposal, there are 60-something mentions of Rutland, and essentially they constantly say things like, if Rutland joined, if Rutland was to be part of us, and I think that's them essentially recognising that although they haven't put us in their proposal, they know full well that the government isn't going to leave Rutland as a small unitary surrounded by two giant ones. So that's where we are at the moment. So in terms of their proposal, we would have 746,000 people served by one council, because that's all of Leicestershire, not currently with Rutland. So put Rutland in and we get to almost 800,000. It does align with the Health and Police Authorities, as the governor said. They've said they will deliver annual savings of £30 million. On council tax equalisation, I couldn't get a clear answer from reading their documents because officially Rutland, of course, isn't part of their proposal. But they have said that given the discrepancy in council tax between Rutland and Leicestershire, savings over £5 million would be required to avoid Leicestershire residents paying more for their services, which gives me hope, but it's not a secure commitment. It would cost £17 million to deliver. It would be a rural authority. They've given no guide the number of councillors they would provide. They have agreed to protect our ceremonial status. And sorry, I should have said, the other proposals have all said the same thing, but they haven't said how or why, or that they haven't secured a commitment from government towards that. And they, however, of course, Leicestershire doesn't have the agreement of Leicester City or Rutland. I wanted to cover very briefly a discounted option, because I think it's really important that we try and understand the thinking behind why certain proposals have gone forward. So the east-west split of Leicestershire, with Rutland joining the east, has been discounted by our local authorities. I have struggled to understand or receive a meaningful analysis of why north-south is a better option for us than east-west. I think naturally a lot of us would assume that an east-west split would be better for us, but it's really important that, of course, we work off the data and what would really be best for us. But having tried to assess the two, I think it's really marginal for Rutland the benefits of which one would be better for us. Both are obviously better than one giant donut, but that's just my personal view because I'm very much opposed to one giant donut. But essentially, so far, all I've been told is that in an east-west configuration, there would be a less beneficial population balance and less beneficial density of population. There'd be a more unbalanced pattern of where people live and work and less sustainable debt gearing towards the three new authorities. So I think really it's very marginal, the differences between the two as I've gone through it. But for one clear reason, north-south seems to be the preferred option of all our districts and Rutland County Council. They also argued that you'd end up with a very rural east authority and you'd end up with quite an industrial west. But then I would argue that that means you'd get funding from government that would be suitable for an industrial council on one side and you'd get funding for a rural on the other side. Personally, given where we are, I don't think it makes a substantial difference at the moment with the data that we currently have available to us, but that is currently off the table. So, where does this leave us as Rutland? So, Rutland County Council, as I've said, have published this on their website, where they say very clearly that they think the best option is for us to merge with North Leicestershire and Rutland. However, as I say, there are three, or if we're honest with ourselves, four options that the government will look at and say, what do we want to do with Rutland and how do they fit in? Although we also have to be honest with ourselves, the chance of them saying, what should we do with Rutland, rather than what should we do with that bit of the East Midlands, is more of a reality. So I've been clear throughout all of this that I won't take a preferred position, but I thought as many different proposals as possible had to go forward to government, because that would mean, hopefully, as many options as possible would come to you, for you to have your say. Fortunately, Rutland County Council has said that although it didn't help draft all three options, it will consult on all three options. It won't consult on the one giant Leicestershire donut because it doesn't consent to it and we're technically not in the proposal, even though there are 60 plus mentions of us, but they will consult on the other three options. Government, of course, can pick whichever they like. However, the schedule of this all meant, as I've said, the 21st was not a go, no go, so we've now got to wait as all the proposals are worked up between now and November. These are the six tests that I set out for the local council when all of this started coming forward, and I'm relieved that of the three proposals that involve us, four to five of them are being met in each proposal, which is a positive for us to take away. However, on ceremonial status, we are still in a very difficult position because the government have said informally to the council leader and to me, well, of course we want to help you keep your ceremonial status. To which I say, well, how are you going to do it legislatively? Because as I said at the previous meetings, we need a legislative vehicle. Now I sound like a proper politician. We need a law that we can jump onto so we can do it. And they will not give us any commitment. And they still say that they don't want to have to legislate in order to protect our ceremonial county status. But you can't do it unless you do. So just to remind you all, by the 1st of April, I need as many petitions signed as possible so I can go to Parliament and present on the 2nd of April our petition, which is not about what council we end up with, it's about being able to still be Rutland no matter what happens. And I'm really grateful because we have had thousands and thousands of signatures. And my goal, if you stop at the Chartist part of history, when they used to get millions of signatures for things, my goal is for us to present the biggest petition ever presented as a wet signature petition to Parliament, and I hope that we are on track to do that. So, when will you get a say? As I've been quite honest with you all, I've been very unhappy with what I see as the democratic deficit over the last few months. Letters have gone to government speaking on our behalf, the council has decided to pursue one option as its priority, and there has been no community engagement, no public events, and there has been no vote of our councillors. I was very surprised. Essentially, in the North Leicestershire and Rutland proposal, it says that they have done, I'm going to find the exact word, evidence of local engagement explaining the views and concerns of local communities has been addressed. Well, I'm not sure where that local engagement is that apparently has been addressed. There is currently a two-question survey on the Rutland County Council website. Please do go on and have your say. Whilst I would argue it should be more substantive, the important thing is that you have a say and that you go in and do it as soon as possible. The council, as I say, have promised now to do consultation from May onwards, and it will be on all three options, as I mentioned, that have Rutland mentioned to them, which is really, really important. And then, as I say, we will have the government consultation, we expect, on mayoralties only next year. We don't think it will include a local government reorganisation. So essentially that is me trying to condense about 200 and something pages of different proposals from different areas. So I apologise if it feels a little bit too not detailed or too detailed in others. But the rest of this meeting really is about hearing from you. What do you want? What are your thoughts? I can pull up specific slides if you want to have them up again. Which proposals do you think we should be going forward with? Essentially, whatever you want to share this evening about what your thoughts on what you've heard so far. So over to all of you. Who wants to kick us off?
So, David Popple, I'm actually a Stanfordian in exile, as I put myself. I firmly believe, for a long time, that Stanford actually should be part of Rutland. I think there's lots of historic links. I think you go back to the Doomsday Book, I think we're even mentioned together there. And there's lots of more obvious modern links, so things like the local paper is the Stanford and Rutland Mercury. The hospital in Stanford has Rutland in the name. For me, it makes absolute sense. And as somebody born and bred in Stanford and living in Rutland, I have no affinity whatsoever to anywhere in Lincolnshire, but to Rutland, I feel a lot more strongly about it. And I think that having them combined together makes absolute sense. You make a fantastic point about Peterborough as well, with the hospital. And obviously there's links there between Stanford and Peterborough, and I don't know if that's ever going to change, who knows. But to get to Leicester is a pain from a health perspective as well. And also, I can't help but think that eventually we would just merge into this big super city anyway, which I don't think anybody in this room wants. So, in my opinion, it's the merge with South Kesteven and those parts.
Thank you. So just on Peterborough, because actually I have had a few people say to me, why haven't we had discussions with Peterborough? Or we'd like to join with Corby. Corby, there has not been discussions because Corby is proposing to merge in an enormous council going all the way down to Milton Keynes. So I don't think that's really right for us. And they haven't had those conversations. And with Peterborough, one of our Conservative councillors asked this question at the last meeting and said, what discussions have there been? And the council leader did confirm she had had discussions with Cambridgeshire and Peterborough about joining them for many reasons that wouldn't necessarily work, and it looks like they haven't put forward an option. So just to cover those. But I think on the health boundaries, although I covered it in brief and said, look, realistically, the ICB we're in doesn't necessarily match where we will go for our healthcare, there are people who are very worried about this. As someone who covers multiple counties, I'm not convinced that that should be a red line when it comes to local government reorganisation because of the way it's funded, because of the way it works. And I don't think actually, I mean, we currently have so much crime on the A1, and yet Lincolnshire and Rutland and Leicestershire Police come together and they work on it together despite the fact that they come from different areas. So if there's a health expert in the room that wants to stand up and teach me why I should be really worried about us crossing ICB borders when it comes to a new proposal, please, please do, or write to me privately if you prefer. But some people have said I'm really concerned about that. From my experience, I don't think it would make a substantial difference at all crossing those lines.
It's Elaine Rook. I may not be being very helpful, but I wondered if there was any possibility of resurrecting the east-west option, which looked, as you said at the time, very much rural to one side and the more obvious development on the other.
So on the east-west, I don't see any possibility of that being resurrected, unless, of course, all the Leicestershire and Rutland councils were to put an option in their consultation, which, if they, depending on what the consultation looks like, that says, actually, I have an alternative, and what would you like it to be? Because the district councils in Leicestershire have said they're not interested in doing it, and neither have Rutland County Council, because they say they've weighed it up, they've looked at the data. So I think what's really important, though, is that they provide that data to all of you. But at this point in time, there is still, from what I understand from discussing with ministers, a possibility that a new option that none of us have thought of, or that, could be brought forward over the next few months. But realistically, the councils have decided they're not going to do the work on an east-west proposal because they've decided that north-south is the way to do it. If I'm honest, that's where I think we are. I could be very wrong. They might turn around in 3 months and say they've secretly been working on it as well. But from the briefings I've had with the district council leaders, it's north-south for them or it's nothing.
Nick Smith from Edith Weston. Just wanted to put a bit of clarification on the health divide.
Please.
I recently had a scan, which would have taken 3 months being referred to Peterborough, which would be the normal route, but my GP was able to refer me to Leicester. Mm. So that is not an obstacle, as far as I'm concerned, and I only had to wait 2 weeks.
And can I ask which GP practice you're with?
Empingham.
You're with Empingham. And that's the thing. So in lots of areas, it is really difficult to get referred to a hospital outside your ICB. My team and I spend a lot of time trying to do that for people, particularly Stamfordians who use Rutland healthcare and vice versa. It can be a real nightmare, so that's really good to hear that you've had such an easy experience, and I hope it went okay. And I should say, obviously, all my answers, all I can tell you is what I've read and what I've been briefed, but hopefully I'm getting it accurate so far. Please, go on.
Miles Williamson Noble, if I can slightly contrast with the last speaker, although the rules are saying that one should not cross the borders of health, ambulance, police and all the rest, I think you will find that over 50% of Rutlanders do go to secondary and tertiary care outside LLR. Now, the majority are North West Anglia, but Corby, Lincolnshire, and I think some may be into Nottinghamshire as well. But I think that you've got to stick with the LLR bit is not valid when you actually look at the numbers that are there. In terms of the police, ambulance and others, I'm not so sure how the numbers break out. I live east of the A1. If I needed an ambulance, I suspect it would probably come from Stamford rather than Leicester. Yep.
And I live west of the A1, but I take my son to Stamford if he breaks his arm. I go to Corby if I need urgent care, and I go to Peterborough when I worry she's not moving enough. So, yes. Please, next one.
Just a quick question. I was under the impression up until this evening that Rutland County Council had only supported and submitted the North Leicestershire curve. Do I understand correctly now that that's now increased by the other three, and there's in fact 4 full-blown proposals in with government?
So there are 3 full-blown, in that the bottom one, the Leicestershire minus Rutland option, technically says they won't include Rutland. But as I said to you, the 60-plus mentions of Rutland, it constantly says if Rutland were to join us, if government wanted Rutland to join us. So as I say, Rutland County Council has only submitted the North West Leicestershire and Rutland model. And they have said very clearly on their website, this is the best option for Rutland. That is what they have stated. However, South Kesteven and North Kesteven District Councils have done a lot of hard work. And actually, while he's here, Ashley Baxter, the leader of South Kesteven District Council, has just joined us. So I'd like to say a massive thank you to him for having worked on this proposal against great obstacles and objections across the piece. So. Because, as I say, I think it's really important that as many options as possible went forward to government. Because at this early stage, there was no need for councils to say, this is our preferred option, and we're only putting forward one. You could put forward lots and see which one government came back and said they were willing to accept, because, as I said, it's not a go, no-go. However, Rutland County Council's leader has written in the last week to the councils and said, and to government, and said, we recognise that you have put in this proposal that includes us. We will consult our public on it. So hopefully that now means that as well as consulting on it, they will also provide all the data and analysis that is needed to those South Lincolnshire councils so that we can build an even more robust analysis so that you have the best possible information to make a decision from. Because obviously you making a decision on a proposal that hasn't got as much data from Rutland as we'd have liked isn't putting you in the best possible position. And then the Mayor of Leicester's option is the other one that has formally gone forward. So three formally, one officially proposed by Rutland as its preferred, three that they will consult on, because they're going to consult on the Mayor of Leicester's option as well. They're not going to consult on this version because officially it doesn't include Rutland, but technically we all know that it really would do when it came to government consideration. Is that clear? Please, sir.
Thank you. First of all, Alicia, I just want to say thanks for your efforts. They're just amazing. You and I will never be on the same page when it comes to politics, but I don't know anybody who could work harder than you do.
Thank you.
My question is, whichever way we end up, we will have about eight councillors. How does the funding and the spending of that funding work? Who controls it? Is it centrally controlled and then fed down? And what level of true independent decision-making comes into play?
Well, this is when you're going to see that I'm not an expert in local government, but I'm sure Ash will set me right if I start getting it wrong. So essentially, if we were just doing a straight council reorganisation, you would see whichever council we fall into continue to have the same sorts of powers that Rutland County Council has, right? Your roads, your business rates, your council tax, your bins, you name it, everything you rely on locally in your day-to-day life. But, as we all know, the government's priority is imposing these mayoralties over the top. Now, I had a very good slide in my presentation in January, which I sillily did not bring with me this time, that talked through the kind of powers they have. But essentially, it's housing, it's business, it's where the investment goes within our communities, where the growth is. They're going to have significant powers, these mayoralties. So we will have to see, as government finishes mapping it out, exactly what the division will be. But essentially, you are looking at the biggest powers sitting with the mayoralty, and then local powers sitting with the councils that have things like adult social care, child social care, roads, I still expect to be primarily carried. Housing should sit with the local council, but you will see, as you've seen other parts of the country, mayoralties coming in and deciding that they're going to impose macro decisions on us that impact on it. But obviously what you see mostly from mayors around the country is the big decisions around investment and business and reopening airports or creating investment in particular areas. Ashley, is there a better way that I could have put that?
No, the only one who made in this was further education.
So swords at dawn, we've got to pick a side. So that's one of the challenges, of course. So Lincolnshire County Council have formally said that they don't think Rutland should join in this three proposal. So there are lots of proposals for how Lincolnshire should be reorganised, which I haven't gone into this evening, unless they affect Rutland directly. But essentially, depending on what those ended up with, Lincolnshire is getting a mayor from the 1st of May. So essentially, the problem with that is that Lincolnshire County Council is saying, well, it's too late for Rutland, they've missed the boat because they're not already part of the Lincolnshire mayoralty. I don't really see how over the next 4 years you couldn't just say, well, Rutland is going to join that Lincolnshire mayoralty and be part of it, because you would just do it and make that happen. Leicestershire County Council similarly has said in their paperwork, it's too late for Rutland to join the Cambridge and Peterborough mayoralty. It's too late for them to join the Lincolnshire mayoralty. So the only mayoralty it makes sense for them to join would be us. And therefore, when they join us in the mayoralty, they should also join us in one giant donut authority. So again, I'm not an expert in mayoralties, but I just don't buy that you couldn't have one area join a mayoralty at a later stage, or say, well, Rutland's not going to join that mayoralty until the next time they have elections, and that's going to be it, because actually if the mayoralty is only coming in this year and we're not going to have this new arrangement until at least April 2028, we would only miss out on, what, a year of being part of the mayoralty before the next elections. And actually, as I've mentioned to some of you before, I have already had it said to me by government ministers that their plan long term is for the Lincolnshire mayor to become the East Humberside and the Humber Lincolnshire mayor, so massively expanding anyway, and that they're going to start that review within 2 years of the Lincolnshire mayor coming in. So if the government's already saying we're going to expand the basis and the borders of that mayor anyway, starting in 2 years' time, looking at the work, then there's no reason you can't expand south as well as expand north. But that opens the whole box of, do we want to be in a Lincolnshire and Humber mayor and not just a Lincolnshire mayor?
Hello, Barbara Crillin. You mentioned on one of those slides the lack of public consultation and engagement. The council have said there will be public engagement. I think you said it in the summer. With their history over the years of consultation, surveys, engagement, coming to the conclusion with the answer that they wanted anyway, often result in very expensive reports. Have you any pointers how we can ensure that the public views are really, truly considered this time and taken on board?
So obviously I've got to have confidence, well, I've got to have hope that this will be a really meaningful consultation. And that's what I really hope we see, because as I've said, this is the most fundamental difference in the way we live our lives in 50 years. So I really hope we do see it. The only commitment I can make to you is that whatever state I'm in at the time, I will analyse the public consultation results as well myself and see where I think that data and that analysis takes us to in terms of what the public says. And I will advocate on behalf of Rutlanders directly to government, the same as, and although I haven't been able to submit the letter yet because I'm just waiting for a final signature, I have written to government, I just need to press send. After the South Lincolnshire and Rutland proposal came forward, I've written a letter to government saying how important it is that this features in any consultation, how important it is that it's kept on the table and they give meaningful feedback on it. Because I know that so many Rutlanders wanted to see that option. So I will do that with the consultation. But ultimately, the power sits with all of you, because your councillors represent you. So you can go to the council leader, you can go to all the councillors and say, this isn't significant or sufficient consultation, if that's how you feel, and make sure that they listen to you. That's how democracy is meant to work. But yes, I don't get it, because we have had a letter go to government saying we want this, which I would argue was not the view of the public, and there was no consultation. And then we've had this one proposal go in, which again, even councillors weren't given a vote. And we were told this preposterous thing at the council that it was illegal for our councillors to have a vote, despite the fact that it had been passed at the last council as a shared motion. It is not illegal for you to pass a motion and have a vote at the council options. Otherwise, Ashley here would be in prison, because he has something like 6 votes at South Caithness District Council. Lincolnshire County Council had lots and lots of votes. So we do need to see a step change, and I'm hoping that now the council's agreed to consult on 3, we will see that. But again, if you go on their website at the moment, it says very clearly, as per the quote I showed you, we have a preferred option, and there's very little on the positives of the others. So I will be saying to all the Leicestershire District Council leaders that it's really important that they do set out the others and they provide a meaningful positives and negatives, because again, we're only seeing positives from the people putting forward their own proposals, which is not going to give the public the sort of information that you need so you can make the right decision for you.
I'm speaking as a newcomer to the area, so please, if I've made an error, take what I've said with a pinch of salt.
Does that mean you moved here 20 years ago? Sorry. Go on.
Certainly, I'm a newcomer relative to some of the people with whom I'm sitting next to. I'm not saying that this point is a deal breaker, but it's just something that I wonder should be taken into account. Please. And that is the relatively rural character of Rutland, and also the fact that a relatively high percentage of the population are involved in traditionally rural professions, the farming community and so on. And joining together with any one of the 3 Leicester options, could, I'm asking this as a question, could this possibly dilute the rural identity and way of life of the community in a way that the option to join together with South Caithness would not? In other words, I think that one of the sustaining elements I've observed of our community is the fact that we have certain traditions, certain ways of doing things, which might actually make a much closer match with Lincolnshire and with Stamford than going in the other direction, which is distinctly urban. In other words, taking to an extreme, instead of being a rural community of our particular character, we could end up being as a suburb of Leicester, taking it to extremes. I'm not saying this would necessarily be a deal breaker. It could well be that if there are people who want that sort of thing, fine. But I would just like to put the point on the table. Thank you.
Sure. So I think that's why a lot of us assumed that when Leicestershire and Rutland put their proposals together, we'd end up with an east-west proposal, because we all thought about how we live our lives and the sorts of communities we are. And it's interesting that Melton Borough Council made it a requirement of any local government reform that they had to be partnered with Rutland. That was their insistence, because they said we're both very rural communities, whether it's all the way up in Beaver or whether it's all the way down in Rutland. However, I've got Harborough, that obviously I represent, the next door, that's incredibly rural, and they're not going to be with us, which is obviously going to be a slightly odd border to have. But that's why the South Stephen District Council proposal is so important, because it's a rural area. Yes, it's Stamford, and it's a big town, it's bigger than either of our towns, but it is rural, and yes, there is Grantham in there as well, but ultimately it's rural communities. And as I mentioned at my January meetings, when I was standing for election, the last election, and I knocked on doors in South Stephen and Stamford, not up in the Little Pontons and the Great Pontons, but all the way around kind of Stamford, the Braceburys and the Gretfords and places like that, people proactively said from the doorstep, we'd love to be part of Rutland. We don't want your council tax, but could we look at some sort of merger? And at the time, my answer was, well, that's not on the table. There's no plans for local government reorganisation. But also, it's not for me as the MP to lead that discussion. It's for me to say, if the community has a groundswell, then let's have a referendum or something like that. So I think it's really interesting that that does come up. Do I think that what happens with local government reorganisation will dilute the rural way of life that we lead and are so proud of? Technically, it shouldn't, because we remain who we are and how we live our lives. However, as you saw with the strategic growth corridors and the housing, the council has pre-agreed that we will build 5,000 houses at Woolfox, which obviously some people say it's the other side of the A1, so I'm less interested. You shouldn't, we're one county. And that they will build a number of houses, they haven't said how many, at St George's. But again, you have to assume it's going to be a similar number, because if it's going to be a growth hub, it's got to be quite a substantial number of houses they're promising to build there. So depending on how housing goes ahead, depending on this deal that the paperwork says we'll do with Leicester to help the city build its housing in the rest of our areas, yes, of course, that could change the way we live our lives because of how we could balloon as a county. But my hope is that we will be able to stay as we are. But yes, there is also a difference because we currently have a rural county serving rural people focused on rural affairs of Rutland, and we will be part of a new, bigger county. The question is actually more, I think sometimes when I'm looking at it, will Rutland even get a look in, or will all the focus be up on Colville and all that industrial corridor that we don't have a connection to, I've been to once in my life, you know, that's very, very different, because it's very hard to get money for rural areas. We've just seen the government cut £1 million from Rutland's budget. That was the rural fund that I helped get created in the first place. So yes, it would be difficult, I think, for us, when you're a council, arguing the eight councillors in Rutland that we should get investment when we're fighting against all the rest of the areas. Whereas in South Stephen, yes, I do think we've got a far more fairer look in and communities that are far more reflective of us, although Grantham obviously is a very, very different community to us, but we all have still shared interconnectivity in terms of how we live our lives.
I'm Andrew Mayer, and I've been really encouraged tonight to find out a little bit more about there are now more than one option on the table and the points about consultation. The concern I've got, though, is actually how is the decision going to be made? Because all the consultations and all the representations, I believe this is a decision that central government will make, and therefore, having more options, are we at risk of getting something we really don't want? And what's the risk that they just decide, well, you know, the whole of Leicestershire and Lincolnshire, add it all together, make life easy for us? And therefore, the risk, interested in your thoughts on that.
So, yes. Well, I got a letter. I asked the government minister a question a few weeks ago about this, and his answer was, well, you don't get a say, Alicia, you need to work with your council. And to which I said, well, MPs are elected to take a slightly different view from their councils, but anyway. So, yes, I mean, if MPs are being told that we don't get a say and that it's all got to go through our councils, they've already limited in terms of how they're going to take feedback. But councils at this point have been empowered to put forward proposals and to say what their preferences are. And it's the job of our councils to put forward the strongest possible proposals they can. I desperately hope that when we do consultation, there will be a clear preference whether you're living in South Lincolnshire, whether you're living in Rutland, whether you're living in Melton, you know, wherever you're living, for what people genuinely want. And I hope, because if we get a mixed mandate, that's even clearer for the government to just say, well, we're just going to do this because we think that's best and that works best for us. Even with a clear mandate, yes, the government has already been very clear that they will override local will and they will legislate to force councils to accept whatever they want. However, I'm not one for just acquiescing because we've been told it's going to happen to us. I'm not one for saying, well, we're not going to fight for a better deal than what's currently on the table. My job every single day, and you saw me do it when my party was in power, so it's not a party political thing, I would take the fight to my own party and say, I'm not happy with this, we're not doing this, I'm going to try and get a better deal for us. Our council leaders have not ever been in a position like that quite often. They do, they challenge government on policy, but this is fundamentally different. And we need our councils, as per the South Kesteven proposal, which technically government probably didn't want to come forward to them, to say we are going to fight for what we think is actually right for us. So hopefully, if all of you take part, and I beg you, because we've just had Harborough District local plan, 0.6% of the population responded to the consultation. 0.6, and that was despite me and Neil O'Brien holding two public meetings with hundreds of people at it. It's really important that you have your say. So as I said, that might only be a two-question survey at the moment on the RCC website, but respond, please, go on, have your say. Sign my petition, wait for the next consultation, make sure everyone you know has their say. Because if we come out with a clear mandate, then obviously that makes it really difficult for the government, particularly when people like me then hold them to account on it and say, no, the people have spoken, you do have a duty to listen to them.
Sinclair Rogers from Ketton. I've been involved in three of these local government organisations, and they've been under governments of different colours, and they've all been the same. It has always been central government that has made the decision. But we must fight, and I support the South Lincolnshire and Rutland proposal. I support that very strongly, and I'm very disappointed at the behaviour of Rutland County Council. Themselves on being a small but close authority. And it is yet another fairy story that we saw that Alicia put up where they talked about having already made local consultations. And whatever happens, I hope that the existing Rutland County Council will disappear.
Well, your wish is their command, because Rutland County Council has said they want to disappear. So you will get your wishes, Sinclair. I apologise for the constant fanning. My internal heater is really struggling this evening. Please, sir.
Hello. My name's John Kennedy. I've lived in Oakham now for 29 years. So when we first arrived, it was still Leicestershire. And I've seen lots of changes. But what I've seen in this last 2 years since this council came to power, it's been an absolute disaster. There's so many things that they criticised previous councils for, which as soon as they came in, they scrapped, like the gym. It's like they don't listen to the public whatsoever. Do you really believe that they will have these meetings? Because they said they would have meetings, they didn't have them. I just have no trust whatsoever in this council.
So look, when they say they will do consultation, I have to take them at face value that they will do consultation, and it's for all of you to hold them to account if they don't. In all my years, I've tried to always not criticise the council itself and to focus on policy issues and what we need to do. I was very, very, very critical when we came to that March meeting and there wasn't a vote, partly because there wasn't even the public engagement events. And if you were going to deny a vote, you would at least hold the events that your own council had mandated you to do to show that you had willing. So I was very, very frustrated and very angry by it, because I don't think it's that difficult. I mean, I announced this a week ago and you're all here. I don't have all the answers, but at least I'm trying to tell you what I do know. Look, they've said they'll do consultation. They've said it'll start in May, it'll go to the summer. Let's hold them to it. I really hope they do it, and I have every reason to believe they should do it. And if not, we will have another conversation, and I will stand behind you 100% as a community to try and make sure that you do get the say that you deserve. That's all I can promise.
My name's Peter Jones. The last couple of questions have touched on who makes this final decision. And at an earlier point in the meeting, you touched on the fact that two local authorities would have election before this decision is made, and therefore people may have a different view. Can you tell me what in the extreme happens if the current government, who you say is going to push this through, has to call a general election for some reason? And bearing in mind that the timetable for this is nearly 4 years, what happens if we get a new government, and if it be whichever party, is this currently in Parliament got all-party support, or is there this option that the whole thing could change?
I think we all have to put any sense of a general election out of our minds. It is not going to happen. Only the government can call a general election, obviously having gone to His Majesty. That is not going to happen. So I think we have to assume that this will be followed through. There is a chance, of course, though, that the government can't deliver it to the schedule that they have decided to, because 2028 is an incredibly ambitious timeline to completely rip up. I think it was 168 councils I had on one of my slides. And so, look, when this first landed on our desks in December, one of my recommendations to the council was, well, look, if you did want to fight for Rutland to continue to be its own council, you could just try and time the government out. Because realistically, if you were really troublesome and you kept causing problems and you kept putting additional stuff in, you could just push it into the long grass or make us in the too difficult box. That's not going to happen now, because we've said, the council has said, they want this, they agree with it, we have consent, we want a mayoralty, we want it to happen fast. The government didn't put us on a fast track, and I wonder if that's because quite a few of the MPs have said, actually, it's not quite the situation you've been presented with, but there will be no general election. So if the government can deliver to the timeline they want, this will happen. In terms of consent across parties, we haven't had votes in Parliament, so I can't actually speak on what the parliamentary makeup is in support of this. Mayoralties is something that has the support of many parties. My party was pushing mayoralties. I fought against a Leicester, Leicestershire and Rutland mayoralty for the last few years. That's part of the reason why we weren't in one of the programmes to have a mayoralty, because I don't think they work in rural areas. As I said at the previous meetings, Andy Burnham, done a great job. Andy Street, done a great job. Urban areas where it makes sense and it works. Cambridgeshire and Peterborough, I don't think anyone in this room can name the mayor of Cambridgeshire and Peterborough. No. And I don't think anyone can name the mayor of the west of England, which is the Bristol, outside the Bristol kind of area. So, yes, I think essentially the government is determined to get this done. They see it as a really important legacy, and it's one of the main things that Angela Rayner wants to deliver. And she's Deputy Prime Minister. So if she decides that's what she's going to focus on the next few years, there's no reason to think they won't do it. And they've spent millions already on hiring new consultants to see this through. So I think it's likely that they will get it through in time.
Sorry.
Go on. The Conservative Party was in support of mayoralties. On local government reorganisation, our current position is that we've said it's for every MP to work with their communities and their local council groups to decide what they think is best for their area. But we did not pursue local government reform. We have not planned to propose local government reform. We only proposed to do the mayoralty work, and only where people really wanted the areas was the priority of what we were going to do.
I haven't met anyone from any party at any level of government that says, with the exception of the top table, that says that 500,000 is the useful target.
No. Yeah. So I can't remember from our debate at Rutland County Council, although again, please write to your local councillors. How many of you watched the meeting at Rutland County Council? The meetings that I've had. So the thing that really shocked me was how few councillors spoke at the meeting, and I begged to speak and was given my 3 minute, 5 minute slot, whatever it was, and where I was only allowed to read off the piece of paper that I brought with me and pre-submitted for them to approve me saying. And when I went off script, I got told to stop and finish, which you can imagine was a struggle for me. But, you know, there were lots of councillors there who just didn't speak, or who stood up and said, I wasn't planning to speak, but I'll give you 30 seconds on this. Why aren't our councillors passionate and wanting to fight and do things? So write to your councillor and say, what are you doing to make sure we get the best option? Because any of those councillors could try and push for either more emergency meetings, or they could push for a motion to be passed or amendments. This matters, and it's not about party politics. It's about the future of our council and how we are served. And I cannot imagine rocking up to that council chamber and not wanting to contribute and speak on behalf of your residents. So please, please ask your councillors to make sure they're making a contribution.
Tim Ives, right, Oakham, nice to see you again, Alicia.
Nice to see you.
Not a question, a comment. I'd like to see what people's thoughts are now as to those various options, taking a snapshot in this room.
I will do a straw poll at the end like we did last time.
Cool, thanks.
It was really helpful. Although I was told in a letter from someone at the council that my straw polls were not particularly helpful or interesting because it was only those who'd come to the meeting who had a say, but at least I held a meeting to get a straw poll. So anyway.
Hello, my name's Tanya Riddlesdale. I was born here, moved away, come back again. And I've lived in Ketton, which is a PE9 number, postcode.
Yeah, PE9.
And then now moved into Oakham. So sort of experience. What I'd be interested in is once these large councils are around, health being my background, and I'm very aware of the Leicester-Peterborough divide, I think just sort their IT systems out would solve half the problem. But what influence will these larger councils have on the health proposals? Because I am very wary about Lincolnshire regarding teaching hospitals in that area. So at the moment you can go to Addenbrookes or Leicester from a teaching hospital point of view. And I know Peterborough's trying hard. So that's one aspect. Social services, which are the council's main provision, I am very aware of the variety of social services because we've got social services in Rutland County Council, and to discharge patients into Leicestershire, they're getting completely different services. So that's a bit of a worry. I know everybody's worried about their council tax, but I can see where it goes. It's for older people, which we are an older population in Rutland. And then from the education point of view as well, I've had to deal with, in the past, some with health and education plans and things like that. Again, it's lovely to be able to rock up to your local councillors, sometimes in tears, to sort things out. But how is the influence of social services? And at the end of the day, social services does have quite an impact on health as well. And we're meant to be coming into more of a health social service. So it's what is really to getting that clarity on one these large 500,000 plus units, how much power are we going to have over influencing health services and making sure our local social services still meet our population needs in the future, but also being aware they just got rid of the NHS England. So we're going to go through that. Strategic health authorities went last time, and the next thing you know, you've got a Staffordshire scandal on your head, and you've got to have a public inquiry, which brought in NHS England in the first place. So the whole system is beginning to go in a complete loop again. Yeah. So how much power can we have and on these sorts of systems? Because I think whole of health, I wouldn't worry about it too much anyway. If you're in Whissendine Market Overton, you'll end up in Grantham. If you're in Ketton, you end up in Peterborough, and if you're in Oakham, you can, well, if you're an ambulance man, you'll prefer to drive to Peterborough and not really go to Leicester.
No,
so
sure.
I can't see that being an issue, really.
Thank you. So just on that, so social services were one of the reasons why the government said that we had to reorganise councils, because they said that small councils are ill-suited to deliver adult social care, which, as we all know, is ballooning in costs. We're all living longer. We've all got more conditions. You know, yes, that is the realities of healthcare. However, as we discussed at our previous meetings, Rutland is the number one rated council in the country for adult social care. So that flies completely in the face of their proposals or suggestions that small councils can't deliver adult social care. In the pandemic, when Leicestershire was struggling with its adult social care, it came to Rutland and we helped them. And we helped them get people out of hospitals and support into adult social care. But these new councils will be in charge of our social care. So yes, for us in Rutland, we will automatically have an adult social care that is more divorced from our communities, unless, of course, they decide that they're going to break it down into smaller units, but that goes against the entire purpose of what the government is trying to do. Education will absolutely sit with these councils. It won't sit with the mayoralties. And in terms of the NHS, Ashley, I'm not sure really where to go in terms of how much influence these councils will have over the NHS.
I think about as much as they do at the moment, which is really soon. You know, people come to me as a council all the time to complain about GP appointments, access to services, access to hospitals and so on. I can't do anything about it. I can't control. I mean, theoretically, we've got two or three committees at county level in Lincoln that are making decisions about health and well-being in Lincolnshire, but I don't think that affects the frontline services very much at all. And on adult social care, we know, it's on the telly all the time, adult social care is a ticking time bomb. That's not going to get any cheaper, and frankly, messing about with local government is not going to solve the problem.
Yeah. And you see a lot in all the proposals from the councils where they try and talk about how they're going to mitigate the concerns they have that adult social care will be really disrupted by these changes. But look, you know, it's expensive. So technically the idea is there'll be efficiencies and improvements. But, yeah, I have fundamentally questions, particularly for Rutland, as to whether our adult social care will be able to maintain it at the standard that we currently have. Because actually, we all know, it's a bit like during the pandemic, we as a community responded exceptionally. Next door, the bits of expanded Leicester that may soon become Leicester City were in lockdown for longer than anywhere else in the country. We weren't far away, and yet we were the green dot while everything else was in extreme lockdown.
The other aspect is infrastructure.
Yeah. The gentleman was just saying the point about the fact that we've got in the proposal the idea that Woolfox will get 5,000 more houses, St George's will get, I have to assume, something similar, I just don't know. Where's the infrastructure coming from? And I don't have an answer to that, because the proposal doesn't say that we're going to get increased infrastructure in order to do these. It just says that we've got new targets we've got to meet from government. It says that they've come together as a council to agree in the North Leicestershire model, 93,000, 95,000, something along that figure, new homes. But yes, the infrastructure is fundamental.
Yes, just two questions, please. Marilyn Clayton from Morcote. To say that I went to the last Rutland County Council meeting, which was a public meeting, the last one they held, I was rather shocked to find that I was only one of three people from Rutland that were in the public seats. I wanted to go because I wanted to show my support for Rutland, and I wanted to make sure that Rutland County Council, just exactly what was going on with regard to the vote they'd promised and to what the councillors said, etc., etc. I also wanted to show support for the council offices because it was a public meeting. As Alicia has just said, there were all the councillors present. It was a horrendous meeting. There was a lot of controversy. There wasn't a vote. There were a lot of divided opinions. I will say people did speak very well and put their views forward. But I would stress that, and I would encourage people, when they do have these public engagements, I understand people, it's difficult for people to sometimes to get into the council offices, and they were watching on Zoom, obviously, but it's not quite the same. If your physical presence is there at these meetings to ensure that the council are representing us properly, I do feel that it's very important, and I would urge people as much as they possibly can to go along in person and show their solidarity for Rutland. My second point is that, just for clarity, I may have missed something, but Alicia, if you could just explain a little bit again about the east-west divide. To get the numbers up, is it possible to, I know you've discounted it, is it possible to get the number up to 500,000, to get just South Kesteven in with Melton Mowbray, Rutland and Harborough? It just seems to me that those areas are identifiable with ourselves, the rural areas, or are you saying that it's so difficult to get the rural funding that we will be discounted in the future?
So on your point about council meetings, absolutely. I was one of the people watching online, and many of you may not know, but you can ask a question at Rutland County Council. It goes back to what I said before, which is you have to pre-submit 5 days in advance, and you're only allowed to come and read off the pre-prepared script that you've had pre-agreed by the chief executive, but at least you can still turn up and ask a question and they have to answer it. So please, please do, and you can also make a representation of up to 3 to 5 minutes, so please do use your democratic voice. On the east-west, that's been discounted by the Leicestershire District Councils and Rutland County Council. So I had expected that they would present two options, a north-south and an east-west, or at least definitely an east-west. Their decision is that there is no point pursuing an east-west council. As I've said, I can't necessarily find the kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, the giant bell? What am I looking for the word? The thing that would tell you that it has to be only north-south rather than east-west. So essentially, I don't know why that proposal is that only north-south would work the best for them. But that is what they've currently proposed. And forgive me, the second part of your question on that was... Melton.
Yeah.
So in our meeting in January, I did say that I would love to see a proposal that brought together Melton Borough Council, Harborough District Council, South Kesteven and us. The numbers weren't quite there, but they wouldn't have been far off what's being proposed at the moment. But it's essentially Leicestershire districts have said, we're working as Leicestershire districts, and this is the proposal we're putting in. The same way as Rutland said, we're going with Leicestershire, and that's the only option we're putting forward. It's only because South Caerstephan and North Caerstephan have come together with this alternative proposal that we now have it. And so, yes, I would have loved to have seen that, because it would have been, for me, a perfect mix of rural communities. But that is not on the table, because I don't think any Leicestershire district is going to agree to an alternative. And essentially, that's now the place that we're in. But yes, as rural people, that would seem to us a natural fit.
Thank you.
Christopher Clark. Thank you, Alicia, for this evening. And thank you very much for all the time you're spending on our behalf here today and in the past months. The question about this split, you mentioned that Rutland County Council's preferred option is the...
Melton, did you say?
The north.
Yeah.
What's the reason for that? Do we know why they preferred that particular split?
Yeah. So, really, as I've said, I've struggled. I haven't had a meaningful analysis of why they've presented. So, the district councils came together, Rutland County Council, the leaders in the districts, and they presented to all MPs from Leicestershire their proposal for a north-south split. What they didn't include in their presentation to us was why they weren't going with east-west. And they said to me, obviously, we'd really love to have your backing. And I said, I can't give you my backing until I've seen why you're discounting east-west, and I want to see all the data sitting underneath the proposal you presented to me today. Now, obviously, they've now published the data that's sitting underneath why this, but not the data for why not east-west. And as I've said, having tried to go through it myself, there are marginal differences as I can see it. I really don't see significant differences. There are a lot of people who think it's a political decision, that the councils have come together as council leaders, because you can't always take your political hat off, and they think it's more likely they'll get a certain type of outcome for the leadership of the council if we are north-south rather than east-west. Having looked at the figures, I'm not sure if that stands up, but it is one of the arguments that's coming through. But they say that it's about proximity of economic activity, making sure that there's a balanced population, a pattern of where people live and work, and a sustainable debt gearing. But I don't know many people who travel the routes that they've mapped out. But read their presentation. They've got some really snazzy-looking graphics that show people whizzing around the north and Rutland. I don't have an answer. I'm sorry, Chris.
What I'm going to say is not confined to Rutland. I was concerned in the Times newspaper very recently that the present government is not really supporting farmers. And I find that very difficult, because we are going through climate change, which makes an enormous difference, and also other factors. My particular career has been about using pesticides. A lot of the pesticides are not staying on the crops. With heavier rain, you're getting it into the ground, and then it gets into other crops, maybe into some of the things that you want to buy to eat. So it's been noticeable that there's a lot more that needs to be done from the government to get the farmers helped with this particular period of climate change.
Thank you. You tempt me, sir, to launch into a defence of farmers and a scathing criticism of what's been announced over the last few weeks, but I'm going to hold back and behave and focus on local government reorganisation. But thank you, and many farmers will be grateful to hear that, because what's heartbreaking is how many of them are worried that by standing up for themselves they'll lose the support of the public. So thank you.
I was just going to ask Alicia if you could help us to envisage what's likely to happen, as well as what we want to happen, by just characterising what the government and what they're trying to achieve.
So the government wants to deal with mayoralties rather than council leaders. They want to deal with a small number of mayoralties, I think around the kind of 10 to 15 mark across the whole country. And they want to save money by having these big new mega authorities serving 500,000 people at a time. That is their goal. They believe it will bring the efficiencies needed. They believe it will result in better services, because you've got economies of scale and bigger, larger centres. And look, when it comes to things like hospitals, don't get me wrong, if I'm going for really complex surgery, I want to go to a big centre that sees lots of complex cases and sees the condition I have, for example, you know, every week rather than once every 6 months. Council services are fundamentally different, I would argue, but that is not an argument the government is open for. So they want mayoralties that they can deal with directly, so it's easier for government to send out money. They want bigger authorities with more devolved powers. And they have also said they're going to empower parish councils to have more powers, which when I had, well, there we go. So when I had a meeting last week of all the parish councils affected by Mallard Pass, and I said to them, how many of you want to be given more money or legal authority? They all went, absolutely not, please don't do it to us. So yes, but that is the government's thing. I'm very happy to send you more detail on it, because I spent a lot of time explaining it the first two meetings.
I think there's a kind of subtext of disenfranchising rural Britain by putting them under the...
Oh, I'm being tempted again, but I'm going to be really good. Look, I believe, and if you read the South Stephen District Council proposal, they're really clear on this. The further you move local government from the people it serves, the more disenfranchised people are, the less engaged they are with democracy, and all the academic research around the world shows this. You know, we've currently got a vibrant local democracy across both Rutland, South Stephen, Melton, you name it. We have people of all sorts of different parties and independents being elected. But all the data shows, and yes, technically this benefit me and my party, but the bigger the authorities you get, the more people just vote red, blue, yellow, green, and that's it, and you don't get anything else. The less likelihood it is for you to be able to go to your councillor and say, this is bothering me, and them to know the road that you're talking about and what you're arguing for. So yes, there are major concerns about the way in which rural communities in particular will be more disadvantaged, because there's no question that for us, our councils will move further and further and further away from us as this process continues, and those living in urban conurbations will continue to have big sites. Now, there is a chance, of course, these proposals, as they come forward, our councils can say, but we're going to have a hub in Oakham, but we're going to have a hub here, a hub there. A hub of what? Two people? Six people? Open one day a week if they're not working from Australia while they're doing our flooding planning? I mean, it's really worrying. So yes, I do think rural areas will be disenfranchised, and I think the fact that the government has announced that all the housing is going up in Rutland and South Stephen, but it's going down in Luton, Birmingham, Peterborough and Leicester, tells you a lot about the way they're thinking about the housing targets and the way we live our lives.
Thank you very much. Kevin Thomas, I live in Wissendine. The more and more I hear, I'm really disappointed and angry at a few chief executives, cabinet members, that are limiting our choice on options. I've seen the North Leicestershire and Rutland. I've seen the South Stephen. Thank you, South Stephen. I would like to have seen the East West. I'd like the choice to be our choice as opposed to a few individuals that may be self-serving. And more I hear, the more and more disillusioned that I am with this council and angry about it, that we're not given that choice. Thank you.
Thank you. So on the topic of choice, so I'm going to give you a 10-second rundown of each one, then we're going to do straw polls. So the first one is the North Leicestershire and Rutland, essentially Rutland merging with all the north of Leicestershire coming together under, in the end, a Leicester City, Leicestershire and Rutland mayor. The second option is the South Stephen, North Stephen, South Holland and South Rutland proposal, which would see us in the end come under a Lincolnshire mayor. Then you've got the One Leicester and Leicestershire Mayor Peter Soulsby proposal, which would be the giant donut that I'm sure we're all desperate to join. In fact, four people did vote for it at a previous meeting, so I shouldn't be flippant. So the fourth one, you're voting for whether you would want to join a Leicestershire and Rutland one without the city as part of it. So hands in the air, please. Who would want to join the North Leicestershire and Rutland District County Council proposal if you had a choice? Who would want to join a South Stephen, North Stephen, South Holland and Rutland option if you had a choice? Right, yeah. Who would want to join a Leicester City and Leicestershire model? Don't all look round like you're going to shoot the person who says yes. And who would want to join an all of Leicestershire and Rutland option? And who doesn't want any of it and is going to refuse to vote for any of the options because they'd rather just keep it as it is? One. No, two. Did you vote for the other options? If you haven't voted yet, put your hand up because you can't decide between all the options in front of you. Fine, that's really helpful. In which case, I would say, look, I will email all of you the links to all the different proposals. Go and enjoy yourselves. Spend a lovely Sunday afternoon reading through them all. But thank you for coming and showing that we do care so much as a county about what happens to us next. The one thing I would say is, whilst these meetings have sold out every time, the amount of people in Rutland who have no idea that this is happening is enormous. When I do my market stall in Oakham, people are stopping me going, what are you talking about? What's happening? Why is there a giant banner across Oakham? And thank you to Oakham Town Council, I haven't put it up. Yeah. People do not know this is happening. So please, please, please tell your neighbours, ask them to sign the petition and make sure you have your say in the consultation. Thank you so, so much for giving up this evening.